Reichenbach, we know that you were on a study tour last week. Welcome back. And Honorable Nsema, welcome.
Thanks, Chair. And Mr. Dyanki, I know where to find you.
I think the threats are becoming more daring each and every day.
Is that a threat or a promise?
It's absolutely both, and I know he looks forward to both of them.
The report, the draft report was circulated, members. Did you go through the report? Can I get an indication where the members have gone through the report?
We have.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. The report is going to be taken as read. Can you flag it again, Mr. Dupree? A report of the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services on the Land Court Bill B11 2021, National Assembly Section 75, date 20 September 2022. Are there any corrections on page 1? Let's go down. Let's go down, Mr. Dupree.
Chair, I plead not guilty on this charge. I'm not in, I didn't prepare this report for you.
Oh, sorry. Hey, sorry. I think it's Ms. Stone. Sorry. On page 2.
Chair, if I may.
Honorable Horn.
Yeah, in paragraph 5, I think there's two potential improvements, if I may, which I think we must make. Firstly, that last part, which says that it's equal to that of a division of the High Court of South Africa. I'm not quite sure whether that is technically correct. The way I understand the bill, it is a High Court. And it is stated as much in the first part of paragraph 5. So I think we can even delete that last part. But other colleagues must also say. And then the other issue I had with paragraph 5 was, of course, that it is a court of law and equity, but only in relation to matters in terms of the restitution legislation, the equity part, although it is of course envisaged that other legislation in future could also introduce the equity considerations. But I don't think it's technically correct to say that it is a court of law and equity in respect of all matters at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further comment here on this issue specifically, paragraph 5. Ms. Silstone?
Chair, may I make a further suggestion on that paragraph?
Okay. Honorable Breitenbach.
Thanks. Instead of saying it's just a, I don't know, it's a matter of style, so it's not important. Instead of saying, and is a high court, I just say it has the status of a high court.
Okay. Did you get that, Ms. Lipton? I see no... I see no objection to the proposals by both Mr. Honorable Horn and Honorable Breitenbach. Can we move? It will be corrected as such. Is there a mover for the adoption of the report as corrected?
Chair, my apologies. are we to introduce after equity in brackets in respect of my I don't want to burden Mr. Dupree with our report, but I think it's the Restitution of Land Rights Act. And unfortunately, I don't know the act's number.
I think they will find that they will correct it accordingly before it goes to the House.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much. Now, is there a mover for the adoption of the report as corrected?
I move, Chair.
Honorable Nomatamba Masego, Chair moves. In a second.
Honorable Nyoho Griffin, second, Chair.
Honorable Nyoho Johans, seconds. Any objections? No objections. The report is agreed to. So the report will be taken to the Programming Committee. We will debate it in the House, I think, next week. Members, would you prefer a full debate or declarations?
Declarations.
Declarations. Any objections to declarations? No objections. We will advise accordingly. Thank you very much, Mr. Dupree, Mr. Mapulubeke, for the good work and the hard work. Thank you very much. We are really indebted to yourselves, to both of you, and other members that you might not know who have assisted you, but you have done a very good job here. Thank you very much.
Yalibolha, Mr. Chief.
Hole Bohare. Thank you very much. Can we go to drug trafficking?
Good morning, Chair.
Morning, Mr. Romano.
If the presenters have not yet logged in, I'm just trying to establish where they are.
Okay. Can we have a 5 minutes break then?
Morning, Chair Steve Swartier, just to give my apologies for being late, and I will be joining the WIPS meeting at 10, so I just wanted to give an indication from my side. Thank you so much.
You become late, you leave early, Werner.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Swart. You are left with 20 minutes. For the next meeting, your apologies noted. Can we have a 5 minute break so that the other people can join us? So it will be a public hearing. Two people have asked to make presentations to the committee. And then thereafter, we'll just have Mr. Sarah. To respond, and we go to the bill. It's the bill that we are under a lot of pressure to finalize. So hopefully we would do a lot of things today so that tomorrow, if possible, we can adopt the bill.
Morning, can you hear us?
Yeah, good morning, we can hear you.
Okay. Can you see everybody?
I see three people, but I don't see you.
Three people, okay, that's fine. Okay, then.
Morning.
Okay, we're just on a break of 5 minutes. You know, we'll be with you very soon.
Okay, and our other clients are also going to join in on the Zoom meeting. We will add them so long while you take the break.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody. We are now starting with the public hearings on the drug trafficking bill. Mr. Romano, who are the first presenters?
We have got people from Raymond Macris. I don't see Mr. Acting yet.
Okay. Those that are present.
Also, I'm trying to look for Mr. Roberts. I don't see him on the platform.
Mr. Romano, I am on the platform. I'm ready. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know that you've changed names.
okay. No, I think he's running away from Honorable Kettenbach. Is it Mr. Raymond Macris? Am I correct?
Can the presenters unmute themselves, please?
You are all welcome to this public hearing of the drug trafficking amendment bill. We will give you 20 minutes to present, which will be followed by questions if there are any. You are all welcome. Maybe you can start by introducing yourselves.
Morning. I'm Zachary Lewis. I'm from Raymond Macris. I'm representing my clients. They represent a lot of these clubs that you are seeing popping up in South Africa, these club models in terms of cannabis. They're representing them. We're also waiting for our other clients to log in, Mr. Lennox from the Black Farmers Association. He's also going to be sitting in. If we can maybe give some chance for him to log in, I just want to quickly ask my client in terms of that, if he has confirmed to be logging in.
They said they're just busy in a parliamentary session. They're almost done, then they'll join.
They said, yeah, I don't know if you could hear that. They are in a parliamentary session currently. If you wanted the other party to start maybe first and then we can go second, if you want to do that, then you can maybe wait for the client to come in. Otherwise, we can continue without them.
Well, let's continue. You have 20 minutes to present.
Okay, and who is all sitting in on this meeting at one of us?
Sorry,
who's all sitting in on this meeting if I'm asked? I see a few other open ones there at the top.
Your network is bad. Can you repeat that? Who is what?
I'm just asking on this call, is it only us and you and the public, or is there other parties present as well?
Yes, there are other parties that are present. It's all members of parliament in the committee.
Oh, all the parties of the committee. Okay, thank you. So, how can I address you? Can I address you as your worship or just as Bulani?
No, it's chairperson. It's a formal meeting.
Chairperson, thank you. Jefferson, I don't like to take too much time to address you. However, I think the question and answers would be sufficient afterwards to maybe get some more clarity. However, our objection is quite in a general manner. As I've already stated, my clients do represent the models that you're currently seeing in South Africa. They're trying to work within the parameters of the law. They're trying to comply with the judgment as we've seen in 2017, 2018 in print. And therefore, we have a few submissions that we want to make regarding the new proposed amended bill, Chairperson. Firstly, if we can address the fact that it is clear that there is no entrenchment in the new proposed bill of the decision made in the Constitutional Court judgment of Minister of Constitutional Development, Ms. Prince. As is clear from part three, where we can see that the definition of cannabis is still including the whole plant and therefore making it illegal. Furthermore, in the judgment, they have stated that the entrenchment should comply by excluding Section 4B of the old bill and also Section 5B of the old bill, as it is not consistent with the right to privacy as seen in entrenchment Section 14 of the Constitution, Chairperson. And therefore, taking into consideration the above-mentioned constitutional inconsistencies which were decided, into consideration, it is clear that the new proposal has not incorporated or made provision for such inconsistencies to be cured. And as such, it is clearly not in the public interest, Chairperson, to enact this bill, and it will evidently be contrary to bonus mores and therefore against public policy, in our opinion. Furthermore, the fact that the legislature should comply with the judgment in allowing the use in private and the cultivation in private, it should be included by the legislator to practically apply this, Chairperson. And therefore, as we mean in practice, as a public should surely have some way of transporting the cannabis or the pups or the clones or even the plants to their house or to a place to do such private cultivation for their private use. And therefore, the legislation should make provision for the practical implication for such circumstances. And another point on the practical implication is where should citizens obtain such seeds or clones or plants in order for them to enforce their right as stated in the Constitutional Court judgment for their use in private and the cultivation in private. Therefore, they must clearly be able to obtain or buy even it somewhere in order for them to enforce their right to private use. We cannot see that there's a practical implication of this, which is complied with in the new proposed bill, Chairperson. Therefore, the legislature, in our opinion, should take steps to take these practical circumstances into consideration and make provision, therefore, in the Act. And that is concluding our opinion, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. So you are done.
Yes, Chairperson. We are ready for questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of you for taking the time to make a presentation that helps to improve any legislation that's before us, and it helps also to strengthen a participatory democracy. Members, are there any questions? Honorable Swart?
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, I want to ask the presenter whether he's read the private cannabis for private purposes bill and the schedules which exclude cannabis, and therefore the fact that he's raising these issues here seems to indicate he hasn't read that, because cannabis is excluded in the schedules there, and which will have an impact on the Drugs and Drugs Trafficking Act. Secondly, does he understand the implications of not amending this bill urgently by 16th of December, which would mean that all drug-related matters in terms of the Constitutional Court order would not be able to be prosecuted? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable. Honorable Nivot Trocha, thank you very much, Honorable Sir.
And the host spotlight, Honorable Wilma, please. chamber host. Thank you. Great. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody on the platform. Sorry, I did miss the part of the introduction. I just wanted to clarify the presenter, where are they based and who they represent. I just missed that beginning part. And I am also a bit puzzled about bringing the cannabis matter, but Honorable Swart has covered me in terms of the cannabis for private purposes useful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. McGrath.
Sorry, I'm Mr. Swart, Chairperson. But I couldn't
okay.
Second question so clearly, but I can approach the first question. In relation to the schedule, yes, we do see that there is an attempt to have that in some way. However, by including the definition in part three, in totality, including it to the plot, that is, in my and our opinion, that is creating too much of a broad spectrum where the people cannot get clarity on the directness of what the judgment wanted, and therefore that people are allowed to enforce their rights to privacy. And the clarity, therefore, is not, in our opinion, very clear in the schedule. And it needs to be more clear. There should be more allowance for the citizens to enact their rights to privacy. If we can just get clarity on the second question, Chairperson.
The one by Honorable Nevo Trochan. Which one is that?
Yes, what?
I think it was about who do you represent? She did not get it when you were saying who are your clients, who are you representing?
I'm representing some of the most of the common club models that is seen popping up in South
Africa. Okay. Did you get that, Honorable Nevo? Honorable Nevo, to him.
Yes, sir. And also, where are they based? Where are they?
Okay. Well, yes. Okay. Honorable Swart.
Chair, the second question related to the implications of not amending the bill in terms of the Constitutional Court order. Does the presenter understand that it would be difficult, almost impossible, to prosecute all drug-related matters if we do not amend the bill urgently in terms of that Constitutional Court deadline?
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm of the opinion that there was a two-year market that was given to the legislature to enact this. It is not the citizens of the country's issue to actually help them to do their job. And we should not be suffering from the consequences of that. If that is a specification that could imply that the other drugs, of course, that is a very negative thing. However, give the clarity on cannabis and go on with the other drugs by all means, but we just need to do it clearly and distinguish between the two. And the time limit on that is unfortunately on the legislature. The onus is on the legislature to use the time specified, and it's been a long time since that time has passed in any way. So I do not feel the citizens should be the ones addressing that factor, Chairperson.
The time elapses on the 17th of December. It has not yet passed. The other question was, where are you based? So we have to meet the deadline of the 17th of December, or else there are going to be serious challenges.
Chairperson, I think there is still enough time for the 17th of December. Thank you, Chairperson, to get the enactment right.
Let's not argue about that, because from here it goes to the National Council of Provinces, which must still follow its own processes, and then it must go to the president. So technically we are on a on the 11th hour. So where are you based?
In Stellenbosch, Somerset West area.
Okay. Members, are there any further clarities or questions? None. Thank you very much for your inputs. We will take them into consideration when we do clause by clause. But members have gone through the presentations because we had received them last week. We have gone through them, and there will be responses on some of the issues that you have raised from the department side. We will take all that into consideration, and then we will, where possible, some of them will incorporate them in our presentations. But if we do not agree with them after we have received responses from the department, we will continue with the bill, but we are bound to consider them as we are doing now, and we will take them into account when we are dealing with the bill. Thank you very much. You are now excused, but if you want to sit, it's also fine. But if you've got other issues to attend to, you are excused.
We would like to sit in if you don't mind, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mr. Romano, the second one.
Mr. Jagmeet.
Mr. Jeremy Upton.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Upton. How are you?
Fine, thanks for yourself. Thank you for allowing you to make the submission.
Yes, can you open your video so that we can see you and then you can close it again?
I'm not sure how to open my video.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the public hearings on drug trafficking bill. We are giving you this opportunity to make your presentation, which will be followed by questions of clarity from our members of parliament, the Justice Portfolio Committee. You have 20 minutes to make your presentation.
Thank you very much. My name is Jeremy Acton, and I'm the leader of the Dasa Party of South Africa. In this matter, I am in touch with many other users of many other substances, and I take an interest in the whole issue of addiction and the use of the illicit drugs and trafficking acts to fight the problem of drugs in South Africa. Now, I note that the public participation in these amendments is the first time ever that the public has been allowed to participate in any form of drafting of this act. And it was imposed on society by the state even before the end of apartheid. Its name changed in 1992 to the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act, but the premise of prohibition has been a matter ever since the 1920s. I want to say that this public participation process that I'm now in does not in any way validate or give any credibility or social contract to the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act, not by myself nor by any other South African upon whom this act has been imposed. It is not enough to just debate a few amendments here. It is necessary for this entire act to be reconsidered by society, and whether the drug war and the proactive policing of substances is the correct way to go. Please note that I do not support the willy-nilly free market of all substances, for I know that many substances are dangerous in the wrong hands. But I am calling for a complete reconsideration of all of the real scientifically verified effects of all the listed substances and a transparent determination of what is deemed desirable or undesirable in these schedules. These determinations have been imposed on society by those who profit from their prohibition in many ways. For example, pharmaceutical corporations who profit from the prohibition of cannabis and psilocybin and cathinone. They profit profit from the listing of cannabis in the Drugs Act in order to profit in the soybean market, because now that it is listed as a drug, it cannot be used as a food supply. So these are the ploys that have been used in the drafting this act in order to empower the interests of corporations and to use ordinary people as the fodder for a drug war that also feeds the prison system, which is often has many people benefiting from tenders that then use drug numbers to fill those prisons for their profits. So a hurried approval of this judgment act with these amendments actually just shows the mindset of needing to prosecute and prosecute rather than take a step back and take a look at the entire illicit drugs and trafficking acts, because your schedules are a mess. They are not scientific. They are used for political reasons and economic reasons and for the reasons of suppression of people's rights to access to nature and natural healing. Okay. Schedules must not only be about the listing of names of substances, but in the interests of transparency, must actually also feature a database, a public open database of the known clinical and positive and negative effects of that substance, so that people may clearly see that the substance is correctly scheduled. If this was done, alcohol would be almost illegal, or at least much more highly regulated. But it is an industry in which the state is complicit by levying taxes, and alcohol is scarcely not even listed in the schedule because it's a commercial product. So too should cannabis be a commercial product. So too should psilocybin be a commercial product. Now, I have spent most of my time fighting for the rights of cannabis users and for the truth of the cannabis plants to be recognized by the state, both in the Constitutional Court judgment as well as in replies to the Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill. The state continually refuses to acknowledge that cannabis is more than a drug, and it only registers cannabis as a drug in order to prevent social access to the other benefits of the plant. For example, I have here in my hand an affidavit that was hidden by the state in the Constitutional Court case. It was an affidavit by the hemp expert, Mr. Anthony Budden, as expert witness for industrial cannabis. In this affidavit, he confirms that cannabis is a medicine, and that THC is directly involved in the health-giving effects of this cannabis medicine. He also confirms that it is an industrial resource and a resource for clean energy. He confirms that it is a nutritional resource, in that the seed that is obtained from cannabis is the most nutritious seed on earth. Yet citizens are banned from actually cultivating quantities enough to benefit from healthy nutrition and are forced to buy expensive corporate soya, which is enriched with weed killer and genetically modified organisms, which are toxic to health. So this is an example of the total illogical scheduling of the state of this particular resource. as a drug in order to police it as a drug and in order to prevent the use of this for benefit of society. So I completely reject the schedules as they are. And this problem with cannabis in the schedules points to the other problems that there are many other substances there that are listed in order to keep society from having beneficial use of these substances. The other one that I particularly wish to mention is psilocybin from the so-called magic mushrooms and the psilocybin, which is what psilocybin breaks down into in order for our brains to use it as a serotonin enhancer analog. So if you go to PubMed, which is the National Institute of Health in America's research archive, and you type in psilocybin, you will get at least 1,200 papers pointing to the fact that psilocybin is the future of human mental health and not the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that are peddled by the big pharmaceutical corporations. And I allege that psilocybin is listed here in order to make a market for serotonin reuptake inhibitors. It is a criminal listing because it promotes a vested interest in the corporate sector, as is the cannabis listing a criminal listing. I want to point out that based on these two substances being called undesirable dependence-producing substances, I therefore claim the right to privately use all of the substances used in that category called undesirable dependence-producing substances until such time as I see from the state a transparent listing the risks and listing the benefits of all of those substances listed in all of the schedules, so that I as a citizen may decide whether I agree and contract with this act or not. And as it stands now with regard to the use of the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act against cannabis users and psilocybin and the growers of Kaffir edulis in the Transkei, who could earn a good living providing the cultural Kaffir edulis to the Somalian people who reside in South Africa, we are banned from providing mira, as the Somalians call it, to the Somalians. So none of these substances lead to physical harms or risks of death in any way whatsoever. And yet they are policed with policing methods that cause more harms than the substances itself. So you cannot apply a law in such a way that it causes more harms to the people that it is presuming or claiming to actually try to prevent. So therefore, I must say that, as I said in my written submission, I do not contract with the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act until such time as this kind of more scientific approach and more heed from the experts, the impartial experts, is taken so that we can actually have a drug law that works for the people, not using the people as fodder for prisons. So that is why I can't actually accept amendments when in the past amendments have been gradually made over the past two or three years since the judgment by the Minister of Justice, where he has no right to, but and also without public participation in the scheduling of dronabinol, for example, and which is a THC, form of THC. So I really must say to the people who are thinking about this Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act that let's go back to the drawing board and let's start with the science. And it must be open, transparent, and verified science, not the propaganda that has resulted in cannabis being in these schedules and psilocybin also being listed. And then in terms of the use of LSD and psychedelics, I'm a member of the South African Forum for Entheogenics, I claim my right to use any psychoactive plant in its plant material and to privately process that plant for myself. And where I and my culture in that use of that plant are freely associated, informed, consenting adults, we do not accept the prohibition of that substance in any way. And we will deal amongst ourselves as informed, consenting adults within a private context and within the context of a culture. So if the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act wants to actually make a positive contribution to South Africa, it mustn't come with lies and unscientific nonsense and police. It must come with the science and an approach of caring for South Africans rather than putting them in prisons. So that is my submission about the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act in general. And this, I appreciate this opportunity to comment on the amendments because I have been given the opportunity to highlight these problems that the Illicit Drugs and Trafficking Act brings to South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Atkin. I will now invite members who would want to ask Mr. Atkin questions for clarity. None.
Okay.
I think, Mr. Atkin, you were clear. Members have heard you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yes, we will take what you have said into consideration when we process the bill. These are the two people who requested to make oral representation to the committee. Others have also made contributions to a written submissions. We now
I asked that I might be able to ultimately obtain a recording of my submission so that I may make a written transcript thereof. Thank you.
Get in touch with the committee secretariat, Mr. Acton.
Sure. Signing out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, we have come to the end of public participation, public hearings on drug trafficking amendment bill. We will now invite the department to respond to the issues raised today and issues that were raised by people who made written submissions. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. The slight comment and responses document. Just to respond to some of the issues that were raised by the people that made submissions today. First is Mr. McGrath. He represents, I believe, cannabis clubs, which is being considered by the committee in respect of the Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill. I must point out that there was a judgment recently, I think it was the Western Cape High Court, in the matter Hayes versus the Minister of Police, where the whole case relates to the legitimacy of cannabis clubs in terms of the Prince judgment. The applicant there contended, amongst others, that the Prince judgment exclusion did include cannabis clubs. The court came to the conclusion that that is not the case. So in that case, they matter, it's case number 2101 of 2021, the court said no. Cannabis clubs was not legalized in terms of the Prince judgment. Some of the aspects that were raised by Mr. Acton is addressed in the presentation that I'm going to present. So I'm not going to go into detail in his submission now, since I will deal with some of the aspects during the comment and responses presentation that is being made to the committee. So I will start, my slideshow is up, and I must indicate we received far over 300 submissions relating to the current bill. It is discussed in the slideshow under the headings of certain aspects that were raised. So I'll continue with that. Okay, the first issue that was raised, amongst others, that the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act is not supported or not fully supported. And there were also issues that the amendments that the bill aims to effect is unconstitutional. And in respect of that, I must respond, and I did point out previously, certain amendments were affected to the Drugs Act in terms of Section 63 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, which do provide that the Minister of Justice may amend the schedules to the Drugs Act by way of notice in the Gazette and after consultation with the Minister of Health. The Minister affected amendments to the schedules since 1996 up to 2014. And those amendments is also the subject matter of the bill. And I did previously indicate that in the Jason Smith case, the court found that Section 63 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act is unconstitutional, since it gives the Minister of Justice the powers that's only afforded to Parliament to amend an Act of Parliament. And the court considered the schedules of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act as part of an Act. So the Minister was actually operating under delegated plenary legislative powers in which Parliament cannot delegate or assign to other functionary. And the court also came to the conclusion in that case that all the amendments that the Minister of Justice effected in terms of Section 63 of the Drugs Act were unconstitutional, since it's unconstitutional exercise of powers, and it is therefore unconstitutional. And the bill aims to rectify those lacunas through amendments that repeal Section 63 of the Drugs Act, and also then through amendments to the schedules to the Drugs Act, in order to insert that drugs or substances in accordance with the Constitution by means of legislation. I must also point out further that insofar as it relates to objections that some of the substances is unconstitutional, is to the effect that South Africa has ratified the drug conventions. They've got certain obligations there under, and the drug conventions place certain substances under international control. And in terms of the Constitution, Section 231, South Africa is bound by, conventions that they ratified, and they must exercise or give effect to whatever is required under such conventions. And the Drugs Act was, as a result of our ratification, even before, an instrument that is used to give effect to the international drug conventions. There was a submission received that there must be adequate resources available to treat drug addiction in South Africa. My submission is that the answer to the bill is mainly to give effect to the Smith judgment, and that we cannot deal with the treatment of drug addiction in terms of the bill. There is other legislation in place that provides for that, amongst others, the treatment of and rehabilitation of persons that is addicted to substances. It's an act that is administered by the Department of Social Development, and it do provide for the obligations of the state to provide adequate resources for drug addiction. There was this mission received to the fact that not enough time was allowed to make submissions on the amendments that the bill aims to effect. My submission is that the bill merely restates current law that's in operation under the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. So it is current law that is being reconsidered by the department. I don't think it's technical in nature. And really, I don't think extensive or a long period is required to make representations in this regard. Regarding the submission that was made by Mr. Jeremy Acton today, as well as other submissions that we received, to the effect that a person, an adult person, has got a right to use certain substances, it was probably made on a similar ground that was considered in the Prince judgment, namely that it's a right of privacy, and reference were, amongst others, also made to the rights of cultural communities in the exercise of their cultural life to use substances. My submission is, amongst others, that the Drug Conventions is an instrument that provides international control of illicit substances. And our obligations under the conventions are, amongst others, to limit the production and use and supply of certain substances under those conventions to medical and scientific use only. Also impose obligations in relation to drug precursors, that we must ensure that it's not used to make
Sorry, Mr. Roberts, sir.
Yes.
Sorry, just a little bit. Honorable Nebo Trochan.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. My apologies to interrupt. If it's okay, can I do it during this part? Because something that I'm just wondering about, what one of the speakers just said, or Mr. Robertson said in terms of the international conventions. The international conventions, South Africa has to follow that I'm clear on. Now, this bill, we need to amend what the minister previously, you know, added to the schedules or approved. So now the court says, during the time in which the minister enacted it, it should not be his responsibility. It's Parliament. It's delegated to Parliament. So am I correct in thinking that because South Africa is following these international conventions, the ministers during that time, you know, already legislated it? Why did the court then say that it is now unconstitutional and it's Parliament's obligation? Because at that time the minister was obliged and obligated to make these changes in terms because of the international conventions. So, you know, the minister had to follow those conventions, and now the court says that it's unconstitutional. So I'm just a little bit confused about why this has happened. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Votrogen, can you park your question until Mr. Roberts is done? I thought it's something that he has done in the presentation that is an agent issue. Can you park that question until the end when he has made his presentation and he'll respond to your question?
Yes, thank you, Chair. No problem.
Thank you.
And also further in terms of the drug conventions, it requires of the party, amongst others, to adopt national legislation to give effect to the obligations under such conventions. And there's a requirement, amongst others, that such national legislation must criminalize any contravention of a provision of those laws that gives effect to a country's obligations under the drug conventions. The next submission relates to the fact that substances are abused in South Africa and strict control of the substances, amongst others including cannabis, is necessary to protect others. My submission is that the bill is amends the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, and the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act is an instrument that controls or regulates the availability and the use of certain substances. The Drug and Drug Trafficking Act must also be read in conjunction with the Medicines Act and the Prevention of Organized Crime Act and the Treatment of Substance Abuse Act. That coherently can be regarded as South African legislation that regulates illicit substances and the use thereof in South Africa. Next one, submission is to the effect that Parliament must carefully consider the substances that the bill includes in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. My submission there too is that the amendments that were previously made actually gives effect to South Africans' obligations under the drug conventions. It's inserted or amended new substances that was included in the schedules to the drug conventions. And there was also, as was raised previously by Mr. Acton, regarding the reasons for inclusion of the substances in the Drugs Act and also the inclusion thereof in the schedules to the drug conventions, I must point out that the conventions do provide criteria for inclusion of substances in the schedules or tables. There's relevant functionaries or bodies in the United Nations that deals with those aspects. And if necessary, I can make available to the committee some of these documents and what is usually considered if they want to list a substance in the drug convention. It is actually quite comprehensive. It deals with the nature of the substances, amongst others, whether it can pose threat to a person's health or life. It also considers, amongst others, the addiction potential of substances and its characteristics that can adversely affect the person's life or health. There's certain people that support the amendments, that is dealt with in paragraph 1.9 and 10 of the submissions. There was a concern that criminalization as a measure to address substance abuse is ineffective and it merely leads to the creation of the lucrative black market, which the police cannot actually address. My submission is still that regarding adequate measures to deal with substance abuse, it's necessary to criminalize some of the conduct, especially insofar as it relates to dealing in substances. Also, such criminalization will address some of the other adverse consequences of drug peddling, amongst others, gangs, the distribution of substances that cause harm, etc. There was a submission to the effect that one must consider South Africa's current stance, as was set out in the South African's drug policy. And in terms of the drug policy, it is indicated that in respect of the possession of small quantities of certain drugs and also the use thereof, that drug addiction or drug abuse should not be criminalized as such. My submission is that this is probably something that should be considered in a later amendment to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. Previously, I did indicate that the department finalized, or to a large extent finalized, other legislation that deals with the regulation of substance abuse in South Africa. But that can only be promoted at a later stage. I must point out currently, if one looked amongst others at section 255 and 296 of the Criminal Procedure Act, there is measures which a court can utilize in respect of personal use of drugs to keep a person out of prison. In terms of those sections, the court may, if a person is amongst others convicted of a drug-related offense, the court can refer the person for treatment in terms of the Substance Abuse Act. So it do give effect to a large extent to this comment already. Must also point out that in terms of certain provisions of the conventions, most notably the 1961 Convention, Article 36, and Article 22 of the 1971 Conventions, those conventions states, amongst others, that the state do not always have to criminalize small time offenses under the conventions, but it can provide for other measures to address drug or substance abuse. But as indicated, it's already on our statute book, and the Treatment of Substance Abuse Act and the Criminal Procedure Act can be used as alternative to criminalization. Going ahead, Clause 1 repeals Section 63 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. The reason is that it actually do away with the Minister's powers to amend the schedules to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. And Parliament must then in the future, if there's an amendment that is being considered to be affected to the schedules to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, introduce legislation in Parliament to deal with this. So Mr. David Horscroft do support it. There's no objection against that and my submission. It merely gives effect to the judgment and also to what is required under the Constitution to amend an Act of Parliament. The next category of comments is general comments, and they are applicable to Clause 2 and Schedule 1 and 2. Clause 2 substitutes Schedules 1 and 2 to effect the amendments that was made to them by the Minister in terms of Section 63 of the Drugs Act. And the first submission is to the effect that the bill needs to specify criteria that should be used to include the substances in the relevant schedules to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. My submission again is that the drug conventions do provide adequate criteria that is used to classify certain substances. It's my submission that those criteria, as well as the documents that is used by the functionaries or bodies in the United Nations to effect amendments to the drug conventions should be considered and used to effect future amendments to the schedules to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. It's quite comprehensive, and I did previously discuss this issue. There's certain people that do not oppose the bill on the basis that they don't agree with it or on a constitutional basis, but merely on the fact that they do not support the schedules there too. I'm not going to deal with this. There's indication that there are new substances which is not accommodated in the current amendments to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. My submission is it's correct. Before the judgment, the department undertook a revision of the substances and that was currently in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, as well as newer substances, and documents were prepared to give effect to certain amendments that was proposed under the drug conventions to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. But we did not proceed with that on the basis that there was a court case pending and there was a reasonable possibility that the amendments affected in terms of Section 63 would be declared unconstitutional. So that was held back. It must indicate that there's various new substances that need to be included in the schedules at a later stage, either by way of a new bill that will repeal the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act or by way of amendments to the schedules of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, those new substances will be included in the Drug Act that will regulate substances. There are some submissions on Schedule 1 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. Schedule 1 lists certain chemicals that is useful for the production of narcotic drugs. And those substances is listed in Table 1 and Table 2 to the 1988 Convention. First submission deals with ephedrine, and there was a submission to the effect that the bill should specify a percentage that the substance must contain, a percentage of ephedrine that the substance must contain to qualify as a substance that's included in Schedule 1. My response there to is, if you look at the 1988 convention, the substance is merely listed. There is no percentage limitation on that. Must also indicate that the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act that was adopted by Parliament in 1992 merely lists the substance as such without a percentage limitation. Must also refer to the Medicines Act. In terms of the Medicines Act, there is a percentage limitation of ephedrine in a substance, but that is regulated for medicinal purposes only. My submission is the current bill do not aim to amend the substance in question, and to just it's one of the substances that was not inserted in terms of Section 63. So it need not to be considered during the course of the bill. There's also indication that some of the substances in Schedule 1 to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act have many other uses. One can, amongst others, refer to something like potassium permanganate, hydrochloric acid, which is basically a swimming pool acid, and sulfuric acid, which is used in the industry and even has hobby applications. And yes, it is acknowledged. And my submission is that the prohibition against the use of the substances, amongst others, gives effect to our international obligations under the drug conventions. I must also further indicate that one must look at Section 3 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act to see the extent to which those substances are regulated in terms of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. And it's only criminalized in terms of Section 3 of the Drugs Act if a person manufactures such scheduled substance or supply it to another person, knowing that it will be used for drug manufacturing, or if you manufacture it for drug manufacturing. So my submission is, if it's not used for the purposes as provided for in Section 3, it's not criminalized in terms of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. So it's not unreasonable limitation that is being imposed on the availability of such substances. Mr. Acton did indicate, amongst others, that in respect of Schedule 2, that some of the substances and the listing in terms of the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act is not based on science. My submission is to the effect that if one look at the documents that have been prepared in respect of the various substances in terms of the drug conventions and the procedure that needs to be followed in order to amend the schedules, one will see that everything is carefully considered. However, in respect of cannabis, cannabis was included in the 1961 convention from its inception. And I believe in respect of cannabis, not all aspects were considered at that stage. In respect of salconin and salconabin, that Mr. Acton did refer to, I must indicate that it is included in the schedules to the drug and drug, sorry, the schedules to the drug conventions. And it was either previously carefully considered or there is appropriate literature that's available that can be used to justify conclusion in the schedules to the drug conventions. And as indicated previously, those substances were subsequently included in the drug conventions. Furthermore, some of these substances is also listed in Schedule 7 to the Medicines Act. So it's not that it's totally unavailable, just that alternative procedures need to be followed for the use thereof. If it's going to be used for something like medicine, Schedule 7 substance must be authorized by the Director General of Health before it can be prescribed or researched or being manufactured for medicinal purposes. In respect of cannabis and some of the drugs that is listed mainly in part one of Schedule 2, one will see that they are actually either listed as a Schedule 6 substance under the Medicines Act, meaning that they are available for medicinal purposes and it can be prescribed by a doctor for such purposes. And that also deal with the second submission but to a large extent is to the effect that some of the substances is by the fact that it's included in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act actually not available to the public for use. I must also point out that in terms of our obligations under the drug conventions, strict regulatory measures are imposed on South Africa, and it also requiring reporting and giving notice to some of the structures in the UN regarding the use of certain after prohibited substances. And that's merely regulatory measures to ensure that there is adequate control of it and to the effect that the substances can only be made available or being manufactured, etc., amongst others, in terms of a license or if it's prescribed by way of a prescription by an authorized person such as a doctor. And there's also, we must then report to internal structures in South Africa regarding the use or distribution of such substances. So it is mainly control measures to restrict its availability. Mr. Acton did indicate that the substances should be revised. I think I did discuss this previously, mainly to the effect that we're bound by our obligations. However, insofar as it relates to the listing of the substances currently in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, as a substance in part one, part two, or part three, there is some kind of some leeway where a substance can be inserted. And one of the main things that needs to be considered is, amongst others, the medicinal use thereof, as well as the potential of such substances to cause harm or death, etc. A lot of submissions were received in respect of cannabis, dronabinol and THC that is listed in Schedule 2. And which is currently being considered in terms of the bill that deals with the private use of cannabis. I'm not going to go into much detail. I must indicate that the schedules in the bill do not amend the reference to dronabinol or cannabis or THC in the schedules to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. It does not accommodate the read-ins by the Constitutional Court that was made, amongst others, to the definition of dealing in the Drugs Act, or the read-in relating to Section 4B7 of the Drugs Act, which do provide that those provisions and the definitions need to be interpreted in the future, amongst others, to allow private use of cannabis by an adult person. My submission is it's not necessary to amend the references to CBD, THC or cannabis. It's always subject to the Constitutional Court read-in. It's not specifically put before the committee by way of amendment. The only amendments that the bill needs to accommodate are amendments that gives effect to the Smith judgment and nothing further. There was issues raised regarding the harmfulness of cannabis. Mr. Acton also pointed this out. My submission is the bill does not deal with this, being addressed by the cannabis bill. There were concerns or submissions to the effect that cannabis is a gateway drug and needs to be strictly regulated. My submission is that the read-ins to the Drugs Act is to the effect that only that small space for private use is protected. Outside that protected sphere of privacy, the Drugs Act will currently apply pending the adoption of the cannabis bill. I'm not going to deal in detail with cannabis as such. I think one must take into account that the bill mainly deals with the Smith judgment, and that the cannabis bill gives effect to the Prince judgment. And the amendments proposed by the bill does not affect cannabis as such, but the cannabis bill aims to comprehensively deal with cannabis in accordance with the Prince judgment. So that more or less concludes the presentations regarding the comments and the responses. Thank you, Mr. Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts. There was a question raised by Honorable Nebot Duhan. Maybe just take out the slide so that I can be able to see the hands. Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions? None. Let's deal with a question by Honorable Nebot Duhan.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. The question was to the effect that South Africa has international obligations and needs to give effect thereto, and that the Minister of Justice exercised the powers under Section 63 to merely implement our international obligations. In the Smith judgment, Section 63 was challenged on the basis that it afforded the Minister of Justice plenary legislative powers to amend an Act of Parliament. The judgment indicated, amongst others, that if one looks at the Constitution, the powers to amend or repeal or otherwise deal with an act is a function that's specifically afforded to Parliament as such. So in terms of the constitution, only parliament can amend the act or repeal the act. So that is the constitutional baseline, how you deal with legislation. Section 63 actually delegate that powers to the Minister of Justice. And the delegation is to the effect that a member of the executive can, by way of, let's call it administrative action, amend an act of parliament. And the Constitutional Court said that this is unconstitutional. It indicates that the Act of Parliament must be amended by another act, and it must go through a parliamentary process. What is quite strange that the court at some stage came to the conclusion that if some powers are designated to a functionary, it must provide for a framework how that functionary must exercise such powers. In the whole context of the judgment, it's my submission that that cannot be read to the effect that Parliament are allowed to designate or assign its legislative powers to another functionary. It's quite clear in judgment that an Act of Parliament must be amended by Parliament through another legislative measure. And that's the basis of the judgment by the court. Although the minister previously, since 1996 till 2014, gave effect to our international obligations, it was done under an unlawful designated power to the minister, and of powers that can only be exercised by Parliament. And that's the basis on which the amendments to the schedules were declared to be unconstitutional. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robertson. Are there any further questions? Honorable Nipo Tohan, are you covered?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you. I am covered. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Robertson, for the good work in responding to all the comments that were made, both written and oral. I know that you are working under immense pressure, but thank you very much for responding to every comment that came to you in written form and in oral form. Can we now go through the bill? Mr. Robertson? Mr. Romano, can you check with Mr. Robertson? Okay.
Mr. Chairperson, I've got a problem with sharing the screen. I'll try again, sorry.
Can we have a comfort break for 5 minutes? We'll come back at 10 past 11.
Thank you. Hey, can you see? Nani, can you see it? Okay, so it's fine. It's been shared. That's the problem.
Yes. It's shared.
Better? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Welcome back. Mr. Robertson, can you proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I fly the bill. I'm going to take the committee through the bill now. Clause 1 of the bill. It appeals Section 63 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. I'll refer to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act as a principal act. I did indicate previously that and explain it as a result of a question that was posed to me, why is the amendment necessary? My submission there to is Section 63 amount to assigned plenary legislative power to the executive. Section 63 is being repealed now. The effect thereof is that if any amendments to the schedules to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act needs to be effected in the future, it must be done by way of an Act of Parliament, similar to the bill that's currently before the committee. Clause 2 of the bill. Clause 2 of the bill substitutes Schedule 1 and 2 to the Principal Act. And the reason, therefore, is to affect the amendments that the Minister effected in terms of Section 63 since 1996 until 2014 by a constitutional process to amend the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. The substitution of Schedule 1. There's been certain substances in Part 1, namely the substances of antranilic acid. That was inserted by the Minister in terms of Government Notice Number 344 of 13 March 1998. Next substance that is to be inserted is isosafrole, and that was inserted in Part 1 of Schedule 1 by the same Government Notice. And also to insert the substance methyl deoxyziphenyl propanone was inserted in that part of the schedule by the same Government Notice. And the next substance that's inserted is norepinephrine. And that was inserted by a Government Notice, Government Notice number 521 of 15 June 2001. It further inserts the substance piperonal, that was inserted by Government Notice number 344 of 13 March, and safrole, that was inserted by the previous mentioned Government Notice in Part 1 of Schedule 1. Part 2 of Schedule 1 is amended by the insertion of hydrochloric acid in that part, and that was inserted in this part, by Government Notice 344 of 13 March 1998. The other substances, methyl ethyl ketone, ortho toluidae, and potassium permanganate, including sulfuric acid and toluene, was again inserted by way of Government Notices in terms of Section 63, and those are the substances that's now before Parliament to is being proposed to Parliament for consideration. It was in the previous Drugs Act. The further amendment that's affected is to item 2 of that schedule. And in that item, from the salts of hydrochloric acid and sulfuric acid is excluded from the ambit of the clause. I did previously indicate that these substances are listed in Title 1 and 2 of the 1998 Convention. And even if you look at Item 2 of Part 2 of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, the hydrochloric acid and sulfuric acid, the salts thereof, is being excluded in terms of Title 2 of the 1988 Convention. Schedule 2 contains various substances or real drugs that is part of the conventions that is subject to the drug conventions control. It was previously inserted by way of Government Notice. I'm not going to refer to government, each and every Government Notice under which it was affected. I think it's adequately or rather comprehensively explained in the optics memo to the bill. The substances that is being inserted is butalbital, caffeine, flunitrazepam, and the substance that is deleted is tilitamine. Tilitamine is not included in the schedules to the drug conventions. Amendment that needs to be considered is the amendment to item 2 of the schedule, which previously modified item 2, and it reads the effect that unless expressly excluded, all substances included in this part, that's part 1 of schedule 2, include, amongst others, all homologs of the listed substances, and the homolog is being any chemical related substances that incorporate the structural fragment in their structures that is similar to the structure of a listed substance or exhibit pharmacodynamic properties similar to a listed substance in this part of the schedule, unless listed separately in any part of Schedule 2. Part 2 of Schedule 2 contains dangerous depending producer substances, which is subject to criminalization or regulation in terms of the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act. The substances that is being inserted is butorphanol, dihydroepine, etropine and analogs. There was previously etropine was included, but it was subsequently substituted with a reference to etropine and all its analogs. Another amendment that's affected here too is the inclusion of remifentanil and zipperol in this part of Schedule 2. Item 2 is again amended to include the homologs of the substances in this part of Schedule 2, unless such homologs of substances are listed elsewhere in the parts of Schedule 2. Part 3 of Schedule 2 deals with the undesirable dependence producing substances that's under control of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. It includes the substances Nexus, cannabicyclohexanol. It includes the synthetic cannabinoids CP46, 497, CP47, 497, that's C6, CP47, 497, C7, CP47, 497, C8, and CP47, 497, C9, includes MDMA, ethylphentamina, etryptamina, gamma hydroxybutyrate, or GBV. It includes other synthetic cannabinoids such as HU-210, JVH-018, JVH-073, JVH-200 in Schedule 2. It also includes methacathinone in the schedule. And then it further amend Item 2 to Part 3 of Schedule 2, again, to provide for the homologs of such substances. I did previously explain the homologs of such substances, further explained in the optics memo, and that is mainly to cater for substances that have similar properties as the substances currently in the schedule. And it also aims to bring within the ambit of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act certain substances that is manufactured specifically to circumvent prohibition by altering, amongst others, the chemical composition, if you include some other fragments in its composition to change its formula or classification. And Clause 3 deals with the short title and commencement. I did indicate previously that this bill don't need to be put in operation. There's no implementation clause. The effect thereof will be that if it's passed by Parliament, subject to assent thereof in terms of the Constitution, the bill will come into operation automatically when published in the Gazette, subsequent to its assent to by the President. And that concludes the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Can you take, can remove the bill. Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions or comments on the bill as presented? On any of the clauses? None. Are we happy with the bill as it is? Maybe we can vote on it tomorrow. Do I take it that members have no objection?
Yes.
No objection, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Roberts, sir, we are happy with the bill as it is. We would vote on the bill with the draft report tomorrow. The draft report will be circulated tonight. Please, members, read it so that tomorrow we can finalize the bill. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Thank you for the work. That brings us to the end of the meeting for today.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, before we go, can we sort out that for the meeting with Professor Monting?
Okay. Let me start by first releasing Mr. Robertson. Mr. Robertson, thank you very much for the work done. Let's meet tomorrow to finalize the bill. We'll be voting on the bill tomorrow together with the report.
Thank you very much. I'm leaving. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much. Honorable Breitenbach.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Good morning to everybody. Okay, the dates that are available are in November of this year. And the available dates are 1, 2, 8, 10, 15, 17, 22, 23, and 24 November. So I will send an email to Mr. Romano, and the committee can decide which date will suit them best. But there's a wide choice of dates. Okay. But it's in November, and we can pick a date. I just need to get back to Professor Munting so that those dates don't become unavailable.
Okay. Mr. Romano, can you check the dates? I'm not sure whether we do have the program for the BRRR already.
Chair, the BRRR will be in October, the first 2 weeks when we'll open.
Okay. So that term would be for legislation.
So I'm saying that for the annual report, the 2 weeks.
Yes.
And after we can consider any other business.
Okay. Can you please prioritize this workshop so that we deal with that, and then there will be another outstanding workshop, Honorable Breitenbach with Judge.
With Judge Cameron and Jeff, yes, Mr. Chair. I'm talking to Judge Cameron about it, and we'll settle on two or three dates to present to the committee, probably by tomorrow.
Okay.
The first 2 weeks of November are taken up by BRRR, then we still have the 17th, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, so I'm sure we can accommodate it. But I've sent the email on to you and Mr. Romano.
Okay. I think we will try and take care of the two.
Chair, isn't the BRRR report first weeks of October, the two first weeks of October, not November? Isn't that what Fanani said?
Yes, the first 2 weeks when we come back, which would end, I think, towards October, November. And then we will be able to deal with any other business. And then with regard to that, we would prioritize also these two workshops, because we agreed on them, I think, last year. So we need to finalize them this year. And then the other issues, I think we will raise them next week in our strat plan meeting, our internal meeting, as to how we want to finalize the whole year. So thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned. We'll meet tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.